This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Uncle Phil's podcast. I'm your host, Uncle Phil, and today we have a very special guest. How you doing?
I'm doing
Mr.
great.
Navarino, how's it going?
Phil, I'm so glad to be here with you today. This is a wonderful thing.
Yes. You know, you're very big on Staten Island for far as baseball, and you knew my dad. Just, you know, I just give a little bit about history, you know, everything like that.
Well, I coached for 40 years in Staten Island baseball. I coached in various high schools, Farrell, C. I coached in Staten Island Little League, Mid Island Babe Ruth League, CYO. Actually ran CYO from 2000 to 2008. I'm a avid Yankee fan, but I love all baseball. And growing up, I had a couple of friends on my block. One guy that lived on the left of me, he loved Willie Mays. Guy on the right of me loved Hank Aaron, and I loved Mickey Mantle.
Oh wow, that's pretty cool. I know that we get some stories. I know I was with you at the ball game once, and I know there's some good stories. But we're here today to talk about Willie Mays, right? He passed away during the week, and I got to see him irregularly because he was in San Francisco by the time I started watching baseball, and then he came to the Mets in 1972. First game hits a home run in 1973. The iconic moment of him on his knees. When Bud Harrelson was safe, and it was a missed call with today, that probably been reversed. But and you know, I think we won the game anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered in that particular game. But it's just an iconic picture of him, right? 660 home runs, left for 2 years. I think it was 2 years to military.
Yep.
So imagine how many more home runs he would hit in his prime. He did play in the Negro League in the beginning. Which I don't know much about how he got drafted over because he only played, I think, 1 year in the Negro League and wasn't very good.
Right.
But he was young. Yep. He was like 17 or something like that. So then he gets into the major leagues. Phenomenal player. I mean, supposedly the best of all time as far as all five tools, right? He can hit for power, hit for average, he had speed, he can catch, and he can run, and he can throw. So what else can you tell me about him?
Well, I tell you one thing. On my honeymoon, I told you this story before, I went to California for 15 days, and my wife and I, we ate hot dogs 5 nights of the week because we've seen all the ballparks out there. But Candlestick Park, where Willie Mays played, I do not know how you played ball there. It was freezing. By the third inning, people had parka jackets on. I don't know how Willie Mays played there. He probably lost another 100 home runs playing in Candlestick Park.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And I noticed the other thing about when he played over there, he played in center field, and he played very shallow. And the great catches, again.
The basket catch.
Was that in 54, something like that?
54.
Right? Over the shoulder. And he said, I always knew I was going to catch it. I didn't know how I was going to get the ball back in. And then you just turn and threw it in, right? It's just amazing.
Like it was easy. But, you know, there's a Staten Island connection for the 1954 World Series.
I did not know that.
There's a guy by the name of Dusty Rhodes that played in that game. And Dusty Rhodes was the MVP of that series. And Dusty Rhodes moved to Staten Island to Port Richmond. And he actually had a ferry service that went back and forth to Bayonne. And they just inducted him into the Staten Island Sports Hall of Fame this year, Dusty Rhodes, that he played with. And another Staten Island connection with Willie Mays, of course, when Bobby Thompson hit the home run.
Yep.
You know who was on deck? Willie Mays.
Oh, look at that.
Right? And my guy that I love, Mickey Mantle, you know who hit that ball that when he got in the, you know, his spike caught? Willie Mays, when Jordan Maggio caught the ball.
Oh, right. That ruined his career, basically. Right?
So he's all these connections,
look at
you
that.
Know?
It's amazing.
Amazing. Also, there's a guy, a fellow by the name of Tony Schemetta from Staten Island. He died at a very young age, gotten cancer in his early 50s. But at one time in Newtop, and a lot of people don't remember this, but there was a Willie Mays sports store in Newtop where ShopRite is on Holland Boulevard.
No, I didn't know that.
And Willie would be there time to time signing autographs, and he was always so happy to see people.
Yeah. You know, the other thing is his hat always fell off.
He did that on purpose.
He had a very, very, he wore a small hat, right?
He did it on purpose to show the speed that he had. Yep.
Just so many different things I've heard about him. I saw TV shows. He's just an amazing man.
Well, how about this? In the early 50s, he had just won the MVP. It was a 53-54. And he decided, you know, let me play some Puerto Rican baseball. So he played Puerto Rican baseball in the wintertime. And the shortstop, believe it or not, that won the MVP that year in the Puerto Rican League, you're not going to believe this, Don Zimmer on his team. Okay. So, of course, Willie Mays played center field. The guy that played left field had a pretty good arm. But they said there was a guy in right field that had a better arm. It was a Puerto Rican guy. I don't know the guy's name that played right field. But the guy in left field, I thought he had a pretty good arm. Clemente had to play left.
He played left field. Wow. That's some team.
Yeah, it's some team. And they won, of course, the Puerto Rican division that year, you know, in the summertime, in the wintertime league.
Yeah. Well, you know, back in the day, they didn't make as much money as today. So the offseason, they were playing ball just to make more money. Some of them had regular jobs in the offseason. I have the salaries here, but it's just insane. And it's very hard to put it in scheme of things, right? But he started out at $7,500 at 20 years old. He got a bump up to $12,000 the next year. Then he got up to $50,000 at 26 years old. So he started at 20. He didn't make a – He made $1.8 million for his career.
Right.
that's crazy.
That's what they're making at bat today.
I mean, okay. It's just crazy. And then, but you know what? They didn't even have the workout regimens they have today.
No.
Right? They just, because they, some guys went back to the farm, right, and worked on the farm. But they came in great shape, Willie Mays, all the time, very fast. So.
He actually, not to interrupt you, he actually signed for $15,000, okay? And the $15,000, what it was, if they gave it all to him, then he had to go right to the major leagues at the time. So he had to split it up, 5, 5, and 5. His father got 5, his aunt got 5, and he got 5. So his aunt had an house, his father was okay. In that time, they bought houses cash for that amount.
Yeah, I know, that money.
You know.
So that's why it's very hard to get what the scale. how much they were making back then to what things cost. Today it's just, even though it's astronomical cost, it's still way too much money.
Yeah, well, look at Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle wins the Triple Crown the following year. He batting title, and then 58, they won to reduce his salary because his numbers were inside.
I heard that, I think Ralph Kiner used to tell a story about that they went in and he hit, so I think he won the batting home run title, and they cut his salary because they said, hey, we lost anyway.
Right.
So we lost with you, we can lose without you. It doesn't matter.
Unreal. Well, the 50s, imagine living in the 50s, Willie, Mickey, and the Duke.
Center field in New York was insane.
It was insane. But a great show that used to be on Home Run Derby, you know, in black and white, you watch it.
I used to watch that.
You used to watch that, right?
Reruns.
Reruns. Mickey Mantle actually beat Willie Mays in the Home Run Derby, you know.
It was different than the Home Run Derbies they have now.
No, different, yeah.
Way
different.
It was like a real game.
Yeah,
three outs.
Three outs, and then you go. Now they do the timing thing and all
which
that.
Which is, I think, very hurtful to the players.
Yeah.
Because they're just swinging constantly. And you'll notice a lot of them that win that go far in it, they end up slumping.
Oh, yeah. That's what happens. Yeah, usually. They slump by the end of the year and, you know, their totals go down.
Yeah.
But not to get back to the Puerto Rican League, I forgot to tell you who the bat boy was on the team. He was 15 years old. A guy by the name of Orlando Cepeda was the bat boy on that team.
No way.
Yeah. And what's mind-boggling to me, when I was a kid, in the 60s, how did the San Francisco Giants not be in the World Series every year? Willie McCovey, Orlando Cepeda, Willie Mays.
Juan Marichal.
Mike McCormick, Bob Bolin, and another Hall of Fame. Oh, yeah, Gaylord Perry.
Yeah.
You know, how can they have not been in the World Series? They were only in the World Series one year.
Well, they would lose to the Dodgers, right?
They would lose to the Dodgers, you know. Yeah. The Dodgers had a set team for years, you know.
Well, you know, they talk about how they wanted to have diversity in winning, right? So they've gone to these so many wild cards. It's all about money, right?
It's all money.
Right? But the wild cards are, to me, kind of ruining things. And free agency kind of, you know, you don't have the familiarity you had as a kid. When I grew up watching the Mets, that team was the same.
You knew the lineups every day. Right. I could tell you the lineups all the way back in the 60s, the Chicago Cubs, the Dodgers, who was going to be out there every day. You can't do that today because it all depends what the general manager is telling the manager what to do, from the farm system to here to there.
Yeah. And you know, the sabermetrics, well, some of it is very good. Some of it is overboard. Yeah. And now they have the launch angle, so now people are striking out more. You had a Dave Kingman back in the 70s, right? Now everybody's Dave Kingman.
You know, you see the ball, you hit the ball, no matter how far fast it goes out, it's still over the fence, no matter what.
Yeah. So I'm not really liking the way they do the same measures. I always used to do whip. I thought whip was a very good barometer of how good you're pitching. You're putting men on me. Although they would tell you back in the day, the pitchers, if they had an 8-0 lead, they threw the ball to plate. They didn't care about their ERA and their whip.
Right.
If they got a hit, great, no big deal. I'm going to save my arm for another day. And if men got on base and there was a lot, then they started throwing hard again. I watched Tom Seaver, who I thought was the best pitcher I ever saw. I watched him pitch a lot. I go back and I watch videos of him. His fastball could be fast, but a lot of times it was low 90s. It was just hitting spots.
That's all he was doing, to the spots. Yeah. And putting in innings. Today they get 5 innings and they're out of a game, they get a win. Okay? Jim Cott, it took him almost 40 years to get into the Hall of Fame. And his Jim Cott, he was like 287 and 230 was his record. But look at all the innings that he pitched.
Yes.
You know, he complete games, you know.
Yeah, and a lot of it's very hard to compare eras, like if you even further back, right? The pitchers never came out of the game.
No.
Right? The bullpen was, you weren't good enough to be a starter. And what they would do is they would just keep throwing and throwing and throwing. And some of these guys, these hitters that had great numbers, they were not saying they weren't good, but they were facing a guy that was throwing maybe 80 miles an hour by the end, end of the year.
Right. And that's why I guess some of the batting averages are up. Today the batting averages are down because you're seeing all these different pitches throughout the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I think Earl Combs hit like 370.
Right. Yeah.
Which is like, you know, we had a couple of those, Rod Carew, right, George Brett, but it's very far and few in between.
Yeah. Well, talk about taking pitches out. Bob Gibson, he pitched in 9 World Series games. He was 7-2, okay? Let's say that's 9 games times 9. Oh, yeah, he pitched all 81 innings, even in the 2 losses, okay?
Yeah, and sometimes they would go 10, 11.
And go.
So... But now, you know, I get it too, in a way, right? The owners, they're on, the salaries are high. So the owners go, well, I don't want to hurt the pitcher's arms, but they're getting hurt more now than they did back then.
Absolutely. I think longevity, of course, you know, you had the rubber arms, and the more you pitched, the better your arm is. You baby your arm, and, you know, I coached for 40 years, you can't baby an arm. After you pitch one day, the next day you're throwing a ball. And they baby you. Oh, okay, don't throw. Sit down. Relax today.
I think a lot of that started when I was coaching, right? They started to...
Pitch counts.
Pitch counts, right? You know, you can't go, you know, that 70 hit pitches, right? What I would do, though, when I was coaching, if you pitched for another team, because, you know, when I did Federation, they would play elsewhere. So I'd come down. You pitched yesterday. I'm not going to pitch you today. You're going to play the field. You're going to throw. But I'm not going to pitch you today because that's a lot more stress throwing when you're pitching. But I would pitch you tomorrow, right? I have to have a day in between. But it got a little carried away. And it's in Little League, they're not stretching their arms out. They're not strengthening their arms. Minor leagues is even worse, right? These are 20-year-old guys. Come on.
They're throwing curveballs in the Little Leagues, which gets me crazy.
Can't do that.
Okay. Curveballs, I don't believe you should. Maybe when you're 16, 17, you can start that. But the curveballs, you know what the parents say? Ah, no big deal. They'll get Tommy John. They'll be okay.
Yeah. You know? It's nuts. And, you know, my dad used to teach the circle change.
Right.
And a fastball. He used to say, spot your fastball, you put the circle change, and you'll be fine. You don't need to throw a curveball.
Right.
You know, and the other thing about, like I said, Tom Seaver, a lot of these pitchers, the ball used to jump when it came in. And I know they say it's really not, that it's an illusion.
Right.
But it looked like it.
well, here's a good, I always just teach kids, you get two quick strikes on a kid, okay? So then I tell the kid, okay, what's the next pitch you're going to do? Well, what I always try to teach him, back him off the plate, pitch it in. Backs off the plate. Then you throw them a little junk on the outside because now they're going to be scared to be in the batter's box, you know.
Yeah, they don't, as I said, they're just, everything's hard. Hard, hard, hard. DeGrom would throw 100 miles an hour in his first training inning. And then you wonder why he had his second Tommy John surgery. Noah Syndergaard doesn't use his legs, right? I'm a Met fan, so these are the guys I see. Everything was arm. And what happens? Arm injury. You got to learn how to pitch. There's mechanics to it. Balance, right? You got to be balanced. My father used to have a stand in one leg like this, just to, you know, try to get your balance going. And unfortunately, they're not teaching the mechanics. I don't know why, because this should be a pitching coach's job.
Well, what's happening today, too, in high schools, they're making the kids work out with too much weight, and the weights are not good. Weights for your upper body, a little bit weights, but small weights, but not crazy weights. And I think that's
stretching, right?
Stretch. In the off season now, when they're going crazy with these heavy weights and everything, that's why when the season starts, boom, they hurt.
It's a little bit crazy.
You know. But let's get back to Willie Mays.
Yeah, let's go. Like I said, Willie, to me, again, I'm going to be 61, and what I saw of him, great player. His stats did drop off, and that's why, you know, I'm sorry, one second. Oh. The stats did drop off, and that's why San Francisco said, hey, let's send him back to New York. Joan Payson made a deal with him, you know, I'll retire your number, you know, that type of thing. And it was really good. It actually helped the Mets.
It was great for New York.
And it helped the Mets.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
A little bit because of his
for the World Series, right? That year, 73.
That team, no way should that team have been in the same ballpark as Oakland.
It was incredible. Yeah. I mean, they didn't win that year, but not like 69,
no,
but still.
No, but you know, they go back to say Yogi Berra made an error, right?
Right.
He pitched Tom Seaver in game six instead of holding him out on regular rest. I don't know. Some people said it was Tom Seaver. His arrogance wanted to pitch on the mound. And it could have been. I don't know. Nobody knows what's in the clubhouse. But how do you go wrong with Seaver and Matlack in the final two games?
Absolutely.
You know?
You know, I know you're a big Tom Seaver fan. But my guy there was always, I always liked Jerry Kuzman. Jerry Kuzman was a tough son of a gun. Take him out of a game. He would never come out of a game.
Yeah. Okay. Jerry Kuzman won game five, right?
One game, yeah.
Yeah. And my it was a big argument in my house. Who's better, Kuzman or Seaver, right?
Right.
If you look at the playoffs, Kuzman's numbers were better than Seaver's.
Absolutely.
Right? But during the regular season, you know, Seaver was far better.
Right.
And the thing, though, that people don't talk about is Kuzman did hurt his arm one year early on and it really pushed him back a little bit. He came back and learned how to pitch better, but he lost a little bit on his fastball.
Yeah.
They didn't have the surgeries today. You know, and you know, I fight with a friend of mine, Paul, because Paul says nobody got hurt back then. That's not really true. Like Gary Gentry hurt his arm,
right?
that was it for him. Right? They didn't get better.
No.
So, but go on. You know, let me know something else about Willie.
Well, you know, one thing, Willie always liked kids, and you know, everybody knows the story. He used to go to Harlem and play stickball with the kids, this and that. I actually heard a story the other day from a friend of mine that went to St. Mary's College in San Francisco, and they were struggling running the bases. So the coach said, well, I'm going to have somebody come down and show us. Willie Mays came down for 3 hours to a college practice and was showing the college kids how to play around the bases. And he was so nice to the kids there.
Wow. You know? And that's the other thing, but the players back then, they came for a couple of dollars to any organization during the offseason, hand out the awards. I think now it's so hard to get them to come down.
It's all about money again. I mean, I used to run baseball card shows. And I had this one guy, and he comes and he goes, I know you're paying me today, but guess what? I would have did it for free. Brooks Robinson, you know. That's just the way they thought, you know. Baseball's baseball.
Yeah,
you know?
And plus they were ambassadors to baseball. They want to go out and share the game, right?
Right.
Today's, they got stupid rules. The ghost runner. I understand the reasoning for the pitch clock. I really do. I think it's hurting the pitchers, though, because they're not – how can I put this? They throw hard
not
every
relaxed.
Pitch, right? Yeah. And they throw hard every pitch. They don't get a chance to relax at
They're
all.
Not relaxing, and it's like a tension that they got to do in a certain time level.
Yeah, you know? And they got looking over, right? You know, and they wanted to increase the running because sabermetrics says you can't steal bases, right? So they did this thing now where you can only throw over twice. The
right.
third time, you could throw over, but if you don't get them, you're safe at second.
Right.
Right? It's mind-boggling to me. It's not baseball anymore.
That's another thing. Willie Mays, if you were to let him go a little bit more, he could have stole 100 bases a year with no problem. Because Willie Mays is one of the few that has over 300 stolen bases, 300 home runs, you know.
Yeah. No, he was, you know, they did things differently back then, too. Power and speed, 20-20 guy was a big deal.
Yeah.
Now it's like regular.
Well, 1 year, 2020 guy, how about this? I don't know if it was around 56, 57, 58. Willie had 20, 20, and 20. You know what I mean? Home runs, doubles, and 20 triples in 1 year. How about that?
Holy crap. That is,
yeah,
that
look
is
at that
insane.
Stat.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, look at that stat. Can you imagine? 20? Nobody will hit 20 triples today.
No, no. Triples are out the window. Why? Because they look at the ball when they hit the ball. They don't hustle out of the batter's box. I just saw a video where a guy hit a ball. He threw the bat down, was you know, jogging to first base like this, and it was caught in left field.
Yeah. Well, it's great. Last night in the Met game, right, there was a base hit in left field. Guys on whoever was on second base, right, calling the rule. It's right in front of you, and you're running to third. How can you run to third if the guy just got the ball? He's going to throw you out. He threw him out.
You know, I know, again, I'm a fan. You're a Yankee fan. 2000, Timo Perez.
Right.
Famously thought the ball was a home run and then ran the ball and was thrown out of the plate.
Right.
Game changing. You know, it was like, what is wrong with you people?
Well, another Staten Island connection. He might have been living in Staten Island at the time. You know who won the only game in the 2000 series for the Mets, right?
2000.
The pitcher, John Franco.
John Franco in relief.
He got a win. He got a win in relief.
Well, there were some issues there. Mets had the lead in many of those games, and Benitez just, you know, overused throughout the year, and it showed in that playoffs. So, he didn't get a couple of calls that could have been strikes that weren't, which would have turned things around, but I think it was Paul O'Neill, great at bat, ends up getting a walk starting the inning. It was a shame. The same thing happened when the next time the Mets got there with against the Royals. The bullpen blew the games. Once again, familiar, right? Same body build as Benitez.
Gets hurt. Right.
And could not throw the strikes in the playoffs. And, oh, man, the World Series, how do you do this?
It's insane. Well, we're leaving today. Relievers. The Yankees are in trouble right now with relievers. They don't have a true reliever to finish a game right now, you know.
Well, Clay Holmes is not a closer, he's right? A closer. He's more of an eighth inning guy.
Yeah.
But they're using him. Yeah. There were talks about All right, I read the article yesterday in the paper with Houston struggling. And they got a third baseman, Bregman, and they got Ryan Pressly.
Right.
Both of them are going to be free agents at the end of the year, and the Yankees would try to trade for him, right? I don't see that happening in today's world. In the 80s, in the 70s, with George.
Would never happen.
George can make those things happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think that happens today. First off, I think Houston doesn't want the Yankees to win.
No, absolutely not.
I mean, there's the bad blood going back and forth between those two teams. They're going to help the Yankees. And it's not like, it's just crazy. I look at baseball and I say the Yankees used to get preferential treatment by the other teams, right? They would trade for these prospects that aren't great. They would trade great players for them. And I would sit there going, why? Why?
Right.
Right? They would take, because they take the payroll, right?
Of course.
I didn't work out for you guys, but Stanton was a 54 home run guy. And you got him for nothing.
And he gets hurt. He gets hurt every year.
Right, but he wasn't at that time,
no,
right?
No.
And when the trade got made, I was flipping out. I go, how is it possible the Yankees get this guy for nothing?
I know.
And it hasn't worked out. And now you got a contract that's an albatross. Because today's world, George's sons, they watch a budget, right? And it's very hard. I don't know about you, but a lot of my other Yankee friends, like Angelica's husband, John, they have a hard time understanding that and grasping that. I got other friends, same thing. They're like, oh, we'll just go get this guy. I'm like, that doesn't happen anymore.
No.
You got to understand it's just not going to happen. And it's going to be interesting this year, at the end of the year, with Soto, right? If the Mets get rid of Alonso, the money they have, that they'll be, right? It's going to be a bidding war between the Mets and the Yankees.
Oh, absolutely.
And the Yankees can't afford to lose Soto.
No. Well, Judge. Okay, started off slow and came back as strong. These two are working really good together right now. And like you say, they can't afford to lose him. And if Cashman or whatever doesn't, or Stein, the kids don't take him, it's going to be George Steinbrenner will be rolling in his grave right now.
Yeah, no, why? What's wrong with you? I taught you better than this.
Yeah, I know.
Well, there was talk back in the year the Mets lost in the playoffs to the Padres.
Yeah.
And Soto was up for sale, right? And the Mets didn't get him. The Padres got him.
Right.
But I was like, you got to go for him.
Right.
Right? Because he wasn't getting paid that much money. And there was an opportunity for that team to win, right? We had DeGrom coming back off injury. Nobody knew he would be average at the second, when he came back. But what I was looking at was I would trade Batty. Alvarez is a great player, without a doubt. But how do you not get Soto for the run? Now, Batty ends up being not that good.
Well, it all comes down to money again, right? Now, look, like you say, from Washington, they could have got him when he was at Washington, right? But it's all money. Now, that poor Washington, the market now is gone, right? Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh, for years, their markets were gone, And it's all money when they transfer all these ball players.
So the thing is, in baseball, I believe in a hard cap because it's absorbent.
Yeah. You need the hard cap. Yeah.
Because Cincinnati, yep. Pittsburgh, Oakland. We're losing Oakland. That's
Vegas.
Such a franchise that we're losing Oakland.
Yeah.
And
they won four or five years in a row, in the 70s, and it just went down the tubes.
But Charlie Finley knew.
Yeah.
When free agency came up, he knew. And what was funny to me was he said, I'm selling all my players, right? And Bowie Kuhn said, no, you can't. That's against the best interest of baseball. Put them all back on the team. What is the difference allowing Ohtani to defer $700 million? How is that in the good interest of baseball?
Absolutely.
Right? Because they circumvented the cap, the luxury tax.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They circumvented it to sign the pitcher that was Tyler Glasnow. They signed everybody in that team.
Ohtani's great grandkids will get that money. Okay, that's
and it was genius because he's going to move out of California and pay less taxes.
Oh, absolutely,
it was genius on his part.
Yeah,
but how is that allowed in the interest of baseball? That should have been stopped. And I know other teams do it. The Mets have done it. I get it, right? The famous Bobby Bonilla thing,
Benning, yeah.
Right? stupid was what that was.
Yeah.
I mean, stupid. You know, and that goes to show you how much the Wolpons were hurting for money, I guess, because that's a dumb move for smart businessmen. The amount they owed him compared to what they paid him at the end.
Yeah. Well, the Yankees over the years, the last couple of years, they had these guys that long-term contracts that they should have just got, you know, get rid of. But they don't get rid of them because they have these long-term contracts. Why did they keep them? Eat the money. They can afford eating the money. You know?
Well,
like Stanton was going up and down. I am surprised they didn't just like give him walking papers. You know, he was getting hurt, but. You know,
I actually thought he was going to have a good year this year. I picked him in both my fantasy teams.
He worked out. He was working out over the winter. He was feeling good.
Just, now he's hurt again.
Now he's hurt again.
Yeah, so the Mets have made a comeback, which is, you know, at the beginning of the year, I predicted 85 wins. They're ridiculing me that I picked 85 wins. And I said there's a bunch of things that happened last year that I thought were abnormal. And I thought that they would correct themselves. Well, McNeil has not corrected himself. He's still terrible.
Right.
The young kids haven't done much because they were hurt.
Nemo's coming back.
Nemo, he's fine. But he had a good year last year. Wasn't Nemo?
Lindor's concentrating.
I said, Diaz, we didn't have him last year. Right. You know how many wins we would have had? Well, he was terrible. And now he's suspended.
I know.
Right? I don't know what the deal was. His hand looked ridiculous.
It was full of something.
I mean, the pinch of his hand was like,
yeah,
dude, come on.
It wasn't like he was walking his dog and he picked up something.
But I know, right. But he hadn't pitched a pitch yet, so the umpires could have said, go wash your hands.
Yeah.
But they chose to throw him out of the game. That could be an issue now, right? Because if he's going to be suspended for a while.
Oh, that's going to, yeah.
The Mets bullpen.
Did they give him a number on that? They give him a.
I didn't get the paper yet today, so I don't know if they.
Yeah,
I just know that he will be suspended. There's no way around that.
Yeah,
that is a done deal, and it's a shame to me because he just got his confidence back, and they all pick up the rosin bag. They all do things, and I don't know what that was again.
Well, the New York Giants. I mean the San Francisco Giants. You had a lot of guys on that team. Well, you had one guy, Gaylord Perry, right?
Mm-hmm.
He would have a spitter like all the time, right? They always hit it, right? And back in the day, they didn't check their hands. They didn't check anything like that.
Right.
Well, Whitey Ford used to wear a belt, and he used to scuff the ball. No, he used to wear a ring, and he used to scuff the ball with his ring so he'd get a little dip.
So I think it was Gaylord Perry. He used to he found it fun to try and – hide it from the umpires.
Right.
And like, come on, look at it, right?
Yeah.
So, with the Vaseline, it was everywhere. It could have been in his ear, it could have been anywhere.
Everywhere.
It's still hard to control the pitch.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not like, you know, just because you do that, it makes it easy. It's very hard to control it.
Well, it's like the steroids. You still got to see the ball, you got to hit the ball. Okay?
I know we don't really agree on that.
Yeah.
I get that. To me, it was dangerous for the pitchers. You know, I pitch. So you get hit with line drives in softball. It's not the same as a baseball. You know, it can kill you.
Yeah, well, Barry Bonds, I know, he belongs in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose belongs in the Hall of Fame.
So I'm going to give Angelica's husband a kudos here because this is his idea. I talked him off the air one day, and he said that what they should do is because he gets it, right? It's a mark on Major League Baseball. But Major League Baseball wanted it at the time.
Right.
Right, because the attendance was down. You put their own section in Major League Hall of Fame where you just put in steroid era, and you put the players in there.
Yeah, they should.
I can understand that, but to me, I didn't want to give them a day. I didn't want to give them, you know any type. Barry Bonds would have been in there no matter what. A-Rod would have been in there no matter what. Clemens, no matter what.
How many needles a day or packing or what they did to put Mickey Mantle on the field every day?
Yes.
I mean,
I know the amphetamines were in the big jar.
Right.
Right. I do get that, but the amphetamines are going to make you play, you know, a little up, right? But they're not going to make it so powerful that you're going to hurt somebody. That's where I drew the line with the steroids.
And again, back to Willie Mays. Willie Mays was just a natural ball player. Nothing in his system, and never got hurt. He was like double jointed, triple jointed, or whatever you want to call it, and he just played.
Yeah.
In the offseason, he didn't really work out with weights. I remember seeing an interview. He didn't really work out too much.
No.
He ran a little bit, But that's it.
Yeah.
You know, and I working out with the weights and all with these young kids today, that's what hurts them.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, anyway, thanks for coming on. Yeah. I really do appreciate it. It was fun having a talk with you, and we'll have to do this again one day.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks a lot.
Okay.